Hello, and welcome to the Unidentified Podcast. I'm your host, Teen Nguyen, a.k.a. Saigo. I hope you're well, and I hope you've been able to find some kind of balance in this strange, strange time. I've been staying busy, making a lot of new music, making progress with the development of my Music Elance marketplace startup. I taught my first seminar about success in music freelancing, and I've also been taking Bulgarian classes. Today, I have the honor of sharing with you a conversation I had with one of the most crazy talented musicians I know. His name's Mark Pelly. He's a singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and producer who's collaborated with artists like Shakira, Anthony Hamilton, Usher, Justin Nozuka. The list goes on and on, but he's best known for being a part of the band Magic and having written and recorded the mega, ultra-huge global hit song Rude in 2013. He's a great friend, a super nice guy, and I have the utmost respect for him as a musician. I've had the privilege of witnessing Mark shred in some informal settings on guitar, keys, and bass, and I've just never seen anything like it. He's a total monster. He's a real inspiration to me, and I hope you guys get a glimpse of that from this interview. So let's kick it off with his brand new single, Anything. And then we'll jump right into my conversation with Mark Pelly.
For you to stop and notice me, yo, while I see you take up my whole mind. I just wanna be your friend, maybe one day really good friends. Love to get to know you. I have never met someone as beautiful as you. On the inside and out, you're the perfect harmony.
Be my melody, can't you see?
You're the only one for me.
You're the only one.
Don't wanna promise things if I can't follow through. But when I'm with you, there ain't nothing I won't do. Nothing I won't do. I'd do anything for you.
You have two new singles out, right?
Got two new singles, buddy. And
a little two-pack?
Yeah, a little double A-side. And actually, every month, I'm going to release two new songs.
Every month?
For like every month. Or just while you're cooped up or whatever?
No, just moving forward.
Moving forward, 2 songs a month. Awesome.
Even if I run out of 2 good songs, I'll just release, you know, a couple mediocre ones or, you know, one bad one, one good one. Or... I'm just joking. Yeah, no, the plan is, I mean, for now, at least I'll just keep on releasing these double A-sides and just to try to, you know, spread. Because I've been sitting on some music for so long, I figure, man, get some stuff out. And I'm really stoked because the last one, the 2 I put out, they all, you know how the Spotify algorithm works, so it still only kind of chooses one as the priority song.
Oh, really?
But I got on some New Music Fridays in Southeast Asia, including like the Phils in Vietnam. I got in Indonesia, Taiwan, and Singapore. Like, I can't even believe it. I'm so happy. Like, it, you know, it's albeit pretty far down the list, like, unless someone wants to listen to the whole list and not even catch my song. But still, I'm like, I'm feeling so grateful for that. I've never got on one of those before, ever.
Yeah, I feel like it's an area of the world where they never stop listening to the great songs of whatever era. I mean, your songs, I always say, like, you're timeless, man.
Great songs
that will be celebrated, would have been celebrated in any era and will continue to be celebrated, I think.
And coming from you, that means a lot, because, you know, I love your voice and I love your writing. And so from you, I really appreciate that, man. And I'm trying to do at least for the last series of songs, I try to do some more Motown throwback kind of retro vibes, you know, but some of the new ones are going to be totally different. I'm going to just go in a totally different direction.
Yeah. But I'm sure there's still going to be great songs, man. You know, like you can't not write a good song, man.
Man, that's so nice of you to say. I definitely can write some bad songs. Like, you know, I've got bad ones in the vault. It's really bad.
Yeah, well, they don't see the light of day, you know. I just thought of a funny comparison, maybe. Like, you ever think Americans taste in beer? Like, it's just like, they're trying to get wild. It's like, already, you know, I already got used to this trend. Like, now I got to, like, have sour. Like, it's got to be really, like, strong and different and something I've never tasted before. And then you go other places in the world and it's not necessarily that way. You know, it's like, oh.
It's a good analogy.
I enjoyed Guinness 20 years ago and I still enjoy Guinness.
Yeah, why not? It's delicious and high in iron. You know?
I feel like the way that I write songs, it changes depending on what country I'm in. Because, like, in the States, there's so much focus on, like, just following what is the latest trend that it's not, it needs to be something that a lot of people don't like. Because then it's like, oh, they don't get it, you know?
Yeah, you got a really good point. It's a really good point. It's a really, really solid point. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, it's entirely subjective, right? And totally personal, someone's view on music and what they enjoy and what they don't enjoy. Definitely the U.S. is more based on the consumption of popular music, and it's almost like fashion where it does change and something is in and then out and in and out. And I think you brought up a strong point before, you know, even with Southeast Asia and other places in Europe, it's like if you enjoy a genre and then you just continue enjoying the genre, like, you know, I've always loved soul music, and I love the Motown era. Yeah. It never kind of went out for me. I was never like, oh, this is no good. I would always love it. And so even when there's waves of like dance songs and people are loving that too, and that's great. I didn't really want to jump on that bandwagon, just like let things happen, you know?
Yeah,
you can see it clearly with certain genres, like, yeah, like the bass wobble, for instance, and dubstep music, you know, the wah, 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 like that was something that happened and then now it's just gone. You, like, if you have a production and that happens in your production, it's just like, you know, whereas like some other, I'm not going to say one is better than the other, but like you have like the kind of certain elements, like James Jamerson style bass in a Motown song, mm-hmm. that's just never going to be. That's never going to be something that people don't like, because I shouldn't say never or everyone, because maybe it's not everyone's cup of tea, but at least for me, it speaks to me. I love that style, that approach to, you know, organic music making.
That's Still All Right, a new release by vocalist Tito Ray and my friend Oroponic. There's a cool music video I'll post on our Patreon page. Back to the interview with Mark.
Have you ever run into Rafael Sadiq?
Dude, strangely enough, there's this restaurant I used to eat at all the time in North Hollywood called Eat. And it's right next, it's like right there in the center of North Hollywood. And Rafael Sadiq was there all the time. And at first I was super starstruck. But I was there with a friend, and then when he knew him, and we I met him. I even have Rafael Sadiq's number in my phone. I've been too scared to like text him and be like, "Yo, what's up, Rafael? I met you at the breakfast place, blah, blah, blah." He's just, I love him, man. He's amazing.
I feel like you guys would be kindred spirits. I mean, I don't know anything. I don't know him personally at all, but I don't know. Like
Jeez, come on. That's so
everything, nice. Writing some timeless songs, definitely that respect for the Motown era, you know, but just like the artist path and everything. I don't know.
Something going on there. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of his. I think he's incredible. I wish I was his friend. You know, maybe I got to just get over my fear and like talk to him or something. Or I think now is the wrong time, though. I mean, not just to put that on him, but me just being like some random white guy he met at a breakfast place and all the political tensions and racial tensions. Be like, "Hey, man, you know, my music." He's like, "I don't care." he seems like a great person. I just mean, like, you know, I don't know.
You're so humble, man.
Oh, dude, come on. So are you.
Sorry about that. I mean, when I think about you, I think of like a musician that has contributed a musical meme to the human consciousness, you know? I mean, that's that's pretty wild, right? I don't know if you think about it that way.
I've never thought of it that way before, but I'm feeling pretty flattered, man. I got tons of respect for you too, man. I really appreciate you saying that. I'm like, I'm just music nerd, buddy. Really am. I'm just like, I have no other choice. I got a pretty bad case of the OCD.
Yeah.
And the sleepless nights. So for me, it's just circular. I just kind of put all my mental unhealth towards music and like go around. Like, so yeah, sometimes people ask like, "Well, how do you, why are you doing so much stuff?" And then I just like, the admission is that I'm really helpless in so many other areas, man. Like, I don't have any skills beyond music, just music. And climbing trees. When we climb trees together, remember?
Oh, yeah. Climbing trees and singing Boyz II Men songs.
The first time I met you, we were singing Boyz II Men songs, and we started when we climbed a tree. So that's how you bond. That's how you make a real friend.
That's right. Well, you're really unique in that you're a specialist, but you're able to, maybe through this OCD thing, able to be a specialist in multiple areas. I feel like you're a drummer now.
I tried so hard, bro.
You started with piano, right?
Yeah.
And then you did the guitar. And by did, I mean like became a master. And now you're working. Bass like piggybacked on the guitar, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And then, and now I see you're playing the drums quite a bit.
Playing the drums quite a bit, man. I had very modest development in my teenage years because of the bands I played in. My drummer left a drum set in my house, but I never really understood properly how to shed on the instrument and practice. Like I wish I took it more seriously then, because it'd be like, okay, I got the metronome on, put the headphones on and just, but I just sort of had fun with it. But those couple years of development, at least, but I didn't touch it until like, so many years later. And then I got nerdy about it again. But you know that like 10,000 hour rule, like I've been trying to put time into it, and I just love it. So for me, that one doesn't feel like I even practice. I just love it. And I'm still not an amazing drummer by any stretch of the imagination. But I think also, you know, doing so much production work for different people, and also having to program so much drums made me think also about the actual functionality of the kit. Because it's one thing like, you're searching for like dope samples and just throwing it in your music if you're making some really cool contemporary stuff. But a lot of the time I was trying to like actually program drums that sounded like real drums. And then that got me into the rabbit hole of, okay, well, if this is how the drums are supposed to be, then I got to actually learn how to play this instrument. I can't conceivably be doing this in any sort of reasonably effective way if I don't actually know what I'm doing. And then I started getting more into asking all my good buddies that are amazing drummers to just give me like tips, you know? So I basically got a lot of great advice, like where they would tell me, okay, practice this, practice that, do this, do that. And I would shed all the ideas. That's pretty much it.
Nice. Yeah, like, shout out to Alex.
Shout out to Alex for real, man. Alex taught me so much stuff on the kit, man. And my buddy Anthony, you met my buddy Anthony Fung, right?
Yeah.
Anthony showed me so much stuff on the drums. I have a buddy here in Las Vegas. He's actually literally, he's rated like one of the top 10 drummers in the world. His name's Andre Boyd, Dre Energy. And he's like a razzle dazzle gospel drummer that's just like gone rogue and like taken over. He's absolutely incredible as well. I mean, yeah, he's like a guru. He travels all around the world doing clinics, and he's my buddy. And we started a band, like a trio here before all this stuff went down. And I've been picking his brain too. He's been like, I just saw him yesterday.
Yeah.
And he's been teaching me tons of stuff. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, man. I love it, dude. I love it.
What kind of stuff were you getting into over there before the quarantine?
Man, you know, nothing like mind blowing. I was just, there's a lot of gigs here in Vegas. And I've just been doing like Motown cover gigs, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and kind of like, remember when you came to see me at Rhythm Room in LA?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had that gig on a weekly basis in LA, and then I started doing something similar here in Vegas. So I played at this place down the street in the Arts District, and just kind of played with my friends, and they're these great gospel players. We'd go there, do some Motown covers, and invite some other musicians to come on stage and join us, or even invite some other singers. And it's kind of the same thing, like when you got up and sang Stevie Wonder with us, remember, you sang Will Sharia Moore or just whatever. Like, we do that kind of thing. We just open it up, you know, great singers come, great musicians come. It's an open vibe. So we had that going, and it was actually pretty awesome. But it came to an end because of the problems, you know, the pandemic problems. But hopefully it starts back up. I really, really hope that things can be safe for people again, so that at least we can congregate to a certain extent and watch some live music. Because I'm really feeling it as a musician. We can't conceivably be having any good musical performances because of the threat of viral infection, right? It's like,
we're all getting rusty. We're like,
Because I mean, playing at to our computer is great and all, but it's not like I've been doing those too. It's like online performances, and it's just not the same, dude. There's no playing by yourself, you know, and there's no interaction. Like, you can't even see if the crowd's feeling it or not. You're just like reading a message like good in the heart or something.
I think the human enjoyment of music has little to do with a stage, you know, like it's all about being together and doing something, participating in something.
Yes, man, yes, seriously, like totally, like that. You need the energy of the people. You gotta the congregation of the people coming together close, you know, not worried about 6 feet in between each other. Of course, we have to right now. I'm not encouraging you right now. I'm just saying, like, when we can get back there, like, what it's all about, man, because then otherwise, you can't enjoy it.
Are most of the people that you were playing with, they're, like, full-time Las Vegas residents and stuff?
Yep. It was just a trio. And actually, no, sorry, then we had an amazing keyboard player named Josiah that joined it in as well. So I guess we kind of became a quartet.
Yeah.
And near the end, even more recently, we had the guitar player from Boyz II Men, because Boyz II Men does a residency in here named Johnny. And he's really great. So then we actually had a quintet. Yeah, it was really cool. Like, I was lucky. I was playing with these brothers that are just amazing players. And Dre put it all together. And the bass player's name is Tim. He's amazing. He plays with everyone from like Ariana Grande to like Kirk Franklin.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
That's Future West by Low Heat, a producer here in Sofia. I first became aware of him when he remixed my song Misery, which was performed by Desi. It's one of my favorite remixes of anything I've ever done. He's also teaching production at Sound Ninja, an awesome modern music academy where I was recently invited to do my seminar. I think it's really important to have this kind of education in the music community, and I'm very excited to see how the music scene here will evolve as a result. Back to my interview with Mark Pelli.
So what's going on with you, man? Tell me more about what's happening there in Bulgaria. Is it all quarantine and studio, or like what's been happening?
I'm just spending 12 hours a day in the studio. You know, like I wake up, I have my apartment, which is like three blocks away. And like, I can't even chill out. Like I get up and like I eat something and I'm like,
studio.
I'll just go to the studio. Just keep working, you know. I got plenty of work to do, you know, so many people like waiting on stuff, you know.
You still on Ableton, brother? What do you do?
I do Ableton for production stuff and like creative stuff, but when it's time to do that final vocal, gotta get on the Logic, right?
Oh, on Logic. Nice, buddy. Hell yeah.
There's nothing else.
I was just waiting for you to say Pro Tools and I was gonna be like slow tools. But yeah, man, Logic, baby. Come on, let's go.
That swipe comping is butter. You can't beat it.
Dude, I'm so happy you're saying that. The swipe, multiple take folder swipe comping is butter. And I don't understand. People have always said, you know, historically, like, yeah, you know, you got to cut your vocals in Pro Tools. But if people cutting in Pro Tools, like, takes them forever, man. Unless they're, like, super gurus, you know. If they're, it's just like, okay, Pro Tools, like, slow. You got to make, like, the master take folder.
Yeah.
Of a lead vocal, you got to like remember which one's good and then move it up to the folder. Whereas in Logic, you just swipe that one word out in real time and you're like, great.
And when you're doing like a bunch of doubles, which I do tons of doubles, you know, like just being able to visually line stuff up, like, and select stuff based on the timing alignment is huge.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, man.
I'm even like, I'm doing the, like, I have the keyboard shortcut going on so I can edit within the takes before I flatten it, you know?
Oh, like what? So do you, like, you mean you make it into the scissor tool and do like cuts and
yeah,
stuff? And then
move stuff around just to make sure that it's going to work before I flatten. Yeah, like that. I didn't do that before, and I'm doing that a lot more. Yeah. And, you know, it makes you feel so much better to know that you could like just click through and find the best option, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I'm happy you feel that way when you said that.
I mean, yeah. I think if I get that new version of Logic, maybe I could just go full over, but I don't know. Ableton's so fast for me for just making random ideas and stuff.
What do you mean the new version? Isn't it still just Logic 10, or did they go?
They released a big overhaul update. It's still Logic 10, I think, but it's like a new version of it, like 10 point whatever. And apparently the drum machine is way more like Ableton now, and there's some other like sampler plugin and some other cool stuff.
Wow.
That's supposed to be more Ableton-y.
I don't have that. I'm on a very old operating system, and I haven't upgraded. Or updated any of my stuff in a while, just because I finally found a stable platform. So, like, I'm on. Let me check what I think you're gonna laugh at me. I'm on El Capitan.
El Cap, yeah, I was on El Cap for a while. Yeah, I just switched over recently, and yeah, there were a couple of plugins that don't work anymore. You know.
Yeah, exactly. There's that. I'm pretty legit on it. It's just like the some stuff. I'm so worried that I try to open up a session and it doesn't open up.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just like,
just wait until, you know, you figure out what city you're going to live in and we switch over to like VR interfaces, you know, and then it's time to switch over.
Then it's time to switch over. But yeah, I was thinking at some point, maybe soon I'll buy a new computer. And let that new computer just be the one that's like constantly updating on the, you know, at least, and then at least I have this if just in case I can't open up an old session. But I don't want to treat this particular computer as the one to update, you know?
Yeah, I think soon it'll be a good time now that the Mac went back to the nice keyboards.
Oh, did they go away from them for a bit?
Yeah, like 2016 until like this year, they tried this experiment with the keyboards and it just failed miserably.
Yeah, and are they still like with the weird ports too, or no ports and stuff?
Well, the ports, they're still trying to do the USB-C ports. So I just have four USB-C ports on my MacBook, and I think they're going for the same.
Okay, I guess
it doesn't bother me so much. It's just that they're a little loose, you know. So I have my I have a UAD interface, and it's Thunderbolt.
Me too. And,
yeah, you have you do the Apollo or.
The Apollo quad core one.
So I have the Arrow, which is totally bus powered. So there's no power supply.
I saw that one, yeah.
And if I jiggle the cable on the MacBook end, it'll cut out.
Really?
Even the tiniest little
jiggle?
Pretty much, yeah. If I move my computer, it's probably going to cut out.
Wow. So
it's not because of the UAD, it's because of the MacBook.
See, that's a crazy oversight.
Yeah.
Like, why would you design, if you're trying to improve the computer, why would you design a port that is that fragile?
Yeah, I guess they just don't care. They just want everything to be wireless.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I just don't, I understand that, but, the need to continue evolving and progressing, but from a music perspective, I don't care if I have to hardwire some components. I'm more about, the stability and the quality of it, you know? Even with this Bluetooth, I get it for headphones too. Sometimes people want to connect it, but I have some headphones that just sound great. I don't really care if I have to plug something in. I just want to hear a mix and make it sound good, you know? I see a cord running out of yours right now. Look, there's a little cord there. You like your headphones, right?
Dude, I've said so many times that I won't buy a cell phone that doesn't have a headphone jack. I don't know if I can, continue to show my face in public if I go to buy a new iPhone now.
Well, I'm kind of with you on that, buddy, because, there's some benefit to it, but then there's a whole bunch of other things we could elucidate that make it not quite as good, you know, especially, we have good equipment that needs to be hardwired, so if it doesn't have the headphone jack, you need to buy that extra component that allows you to have a headphone jack anyway, that connector, you know, No, my iPhone doesn't have a headphone jack. I have to use this thing and plug
it in. You have to use the dongle.
I have to use the dongle.
The dingle dangle dongle, man.
The dingle dangle dongle. And who wants to use a dingle dangle dongle? I mean,
not me. I'll lose it. I will lose it. Well,
yeah, it's definitely losable. I've lost a lot of them. They're tiny little things, man. They disappear.
So flaccid. You know?
Literally. They're flaccid and tiny.
Yeah, not cool. Hey, do you have a picture of me on your shirt there?
Yeah.
There's a teen, right? In the Pantheon. Is he the green guy?
He's part of the Pantheon.
He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a Dragon Ball Z fan?
I could never get into it. I just happened to jump into it at a time where the main character was just running for the whole year. You know? You know how when you're younger, a summer seems to last your whole life?
Yes.
The summer that I tried to watch Dragon Ball Z, Goku was just running on clouds the whole time. And I was like, is he going to do something? He's the most good looking guy. And apparently he's got some good powers, but he's just running, man. Is he going to do anything?
I want to watch the whole series because I have all this, I have a lot of the anime shirts and stuff. And I meet people that are huge fans and they know so much more than me.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, did you see this? And I'm like, oh, no.
I've never gotten into it.
I would start with Spirited Away because it's kind of sort of interesting take on Alice in Wonderland, but even better, my opinion.
All right.
And I love the art and the music. Joe Hisashi does the music, and he constantly uses these classical music techniques where the way he stacks the voices on the piano. It's very, I'll show you an example. What's a good example of what he does? Like that. That's a, yeah, that's a very sound from Spirit Away. So cool.
Where does that?
It's like, I'm just messing around, but it's like when you take
add 11 or something.
Definitely, great years, bro. Definitely add 11. Yeah, it's a technique where you can like you start off with a shell. It can even be some fifths, and but then you start adding fourths, like and you keep on going up in fourths, like perfect fourths, and you stack them on top of each other, and it creates this very I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost like an ethereal, eerie, slightly eerie sound. It's all over that. You listen to that, the soundtrack of that particular anime, it's all over it. It creates these amazing tensions with those. Like, I think people don't talk about the music enough, but the music and the visual art makes it fantastic.
I'll have to watch it in the studio then, where I have, like...
Dude, watch that one. Watch Spirited Away. It's going to take, literally going to go down the rabbit hole, man.
Nice. We'll be right back.
That's Welcome Home Reprise from drummer Jake Reed's new album, Read Between the Lines, featuring Andrew Sinovitz on guitar, Cooper Appelt on bass, and Kate Dunton on the keys. I'm sending hugs to you guys and all my friends out there in California. I miss you all, and I can't wait until we can go to shows again. Back to my interview with Mark Pelly.
You'd be proud of me, man. I've been practicing the flute, learning some cool like jazz patterns and stuff.
What? Nice, dude. Like, are you working on some tunes as well? Like, learning some jazz tunes?
I'm playing some tunes. I'm learning a tune on the piano right now. So that's like taking up my like tunage memory. I'm learning arabesque.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you doing that?
Yeah, two measures at a time. Like I can do like another two measures every couple days.
That's great.
Yeah, that's really fun, and I just really like minimalism. You know, like in art and in music too. You know, like I just like how like watching these little characters interact. You know, like every little melody is a little character. You know,
so cool.
But for flute, I you know my buddy Danny Janklow, the sax player.
Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah, he's. I know. He's my buddy too.
Oh, cool! Yeah. So good. And then he has a buddy named Tim Lin. I think his name is Tim Lin.
Okay.
And they did some kind of like partnership where Danny was going through this book that he wrote, that Tim wrote, about exercises like modern jazz shapes, and he does like a maybe like a two measure shape, and then he does it in every key, you know, on the circle of fifths, I guess. So wow. I've just been kind of running through that and like listening to podcasts and stuff and just trying to get some of these shapes under my fingers, you know?
Yes, dude, that's so great. And it's so great that you're doing it in the circle of fifths, man. Yeah, so you already know about that stuff, man. Because that thing I showed you on the piano, that's basically like the circle of fourths.
Uh-huh.
Instead of fifths, just stacking them. Same principle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, I mean, you should absolutely do that, man. I got to do that more too. Take something and just run it through this circle. Really can get it under your fingers.
Yeah.
But challenging yourself to play it in all the keys, you know?
Yeah.
I've been trying to improve my voice through doing a lot of nerdy vocal technique stuff too that I never did before. And I don't know why, because I got so nerdy about all the other instruments and then, right. But I ended up having to sing a lot and I just never did it. I never did any lessons. I think it was an erroneous conception from a young age that you're either really good naturally or not, you mm-hmm. know, like the way people talk about it, it's like, well, you know, you either got a voice or, but you can go down that rabbit hole too. And the more you do vocal technique, the more easy it is to do certain things. Like, it's just like, I never did that though. And
I think the a cappella thing that you recorded, the a cappella version of your new song, I think that's an amazing exercise, you know?
Thank you, bro. Yeah,
tuning and stuff like that's such a great thing to do.
Acapella stuff.
I was in an acapella group in college.
Me too. You were too, right? Yeah. It's like a jazz group, right? Acapella jazz group.
It was pop music. You know, we sang like Queen and Stevie Wonder and all that kind of stuff. You know, beatboxing and stuff.
Yeah, man, it's so I fun.
Beatboxing, but I think that was like the best thing for my tuning ever that I ever did. Like better than choir. Like. And it was like kind of competitive too, you know? Yeah.
It's competitive. Yeah. And you're with the other great singers. So it's like a challenge to blend and to, you know, yeah, you're right. The tuning, all of that. Yeah. Cause it's like when you're by yourself, you put pressure to improve, but it's exponentially higher when you're with people and you're interacting with them in that musical way. It's the same like with any instrument. Yeah. I agree with you, man. It's a great.
And playing in bands, you're just never hearing yourself, so it's like you can't really work on your tuning, you know.
That's a good point, man. Like, yeah, and also like if you're like doing the frontman thing of a band, you're concerned with so many different things above just like singing really well in tune. Like, of course, that should be the primary concern, but there's all these elements and you know consideration.
What do you prefer? You prefer to do the frontman thing or the band thing?
Man, I think my ultimate preference is to be like a nerdy musician that's also singing. I don't need to be like the classic front man.
Yeah.
I kind of like playing in a trio situation where I can comp for myself and sing. Not because I don't like playing with more musicians, but just so that I can do some weird nerdy stuff and it doesn't throw off the harmonic balance. Because, you know, sometimes even if you're playing with other great musicians, I don't want to have to like throw curveballs to them and get them to see, oh, he's doing this. And then, you know, sometimes it can work and sometimes not. So it causes a lot of harmonic friction. So I like that, but I love doing other things too. I don't mind being a side man. I don't mind just accompanying someone.
The Dirty Loops configuration is kind of like that.
Right? Yeah, and that guy Jonah is phenomenal. Yeah. He's phenomenal. Like his vocals. I mean, I think he's tried so hard to copy Stevie's intonation and agility that he's like, he's done a wonderful job. Like, I mean, you see some of his clips, he's like, yeah, he's got an amazing mixed voice in his upper register, and he does some crazy razzle-dazzle runs. That guy's awesome. And their whole trio, I shouldn't just focus on him. Their whole trio is great. The drummer and the bass player are phenomenal. I love their musicianship. And
I could see you doing something like that.
Man, that's so nice of you to say. I mean, I have a lot of work to do before I could, piano level, I understand what's happening there, but like vocally, he's definitely doing a much better job than me, but I'm doing the best I can, you know, like just whatever I can do. But you can do that too, brother. Have you ever wanted to do like a project like that and sing in a group like that?
Not so much. I think I'm more of like a band guy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the stuff you played me from your new band, I know it was a while back, but you guys sent me some updated things, but I was already loving what you were doing. You sent me a couple records that were awesome, dude. So, and now you're going to have two albums worth of material, one with George and the other one with the band?
Yeah, man.
Dude, sick. And what's the plan? Are you just going to take over Spotifyzzle? What's the deal?
I don't know, man. You know, like, I'm just not, it's just not my focus to even, like, be a successful musician.
You already are a successful musician.
I do feel that way. Yeah, I feel like I'm already like successful, and I mean, I guess I just need to redefine that for myself now and figure out how to accomplish what I want to accomplish. Because unless I get smarter about the business stuff, then I can't do what I really want to do, which is like travel around the world and play with my bands. You know?
Man, I can totally understand. I have the same goal. I want to just be able to perform music for people and have enough of an audience that it justifies me going on tour. Like, I'm not going in the hole and I can bring some musicians with me and just play with people. I know, man, it should be easier said than done, but it's tricky consolidating an audience like that around the world, because it implies a certain amount of listenership that is difficult. Like, even with Magic, with the success of that group, massive scale, even with that group, we had difficulty touring around and having a relevant amount of people per city based on the costs of touring. So I'm just thinking, I'm not being negative towards myself, but I'm just thinking, wow, it's very hard to actually, but even if I could play, like, you know, we could do this, like have a 500 to 1,000 people per night around the world, that would be incredible.
Yeah.
So solution is we go together, man.
Yeah.
We'll do it together.
Good. Anytime, let's do it. Bro.
Yeah. Let's go. Anytime. Let's do it up, man. Why not? Because, I guess first we're going to get past the hurdle of people not dying from coming to see our show. You know?
Right. Yeah. We don't want people to die from seeing music. Yeah. I used to like fantasize about having some kind of like a tiny, tiny mobile home solution. You know?
Yeah.
Like a vibey, like that one that actually looks like a house.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But what's an Airstream?
Yeah, an Airstream would be cool. I mean, Airstream. I've seen like little mini log cabins, you know, that are on trailers. That would be cool, but not very aerodynamic, you know?
How do you do a log cabin on wheels?
Oh man, tiny homes. It's a whole YouTube.
I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah. Oh man,
let's do one. Let's get a tiny home and let's take this show on the road, baby.
I wish that I could turn it off, but it's not up to me right now. No, the way you look at me sometimes makes me helpless, and there ain't no place to hide. No. You got me transfixed in your gaze, trapped inside a complex. complicated maze. Hoping that I'll find you at the end. Is this real or is this just pretend? Whoa. You're worth the wait, you're worth the wait, you're worth the wait. My brain, but that leaves me feeling insane. I knew you were dangerous from the start. Got me twisted and my heart beats off the chart. Oh, even when I'm 64, I'ma be there for you. Takes me, 'cause a love like yours is worth waiting for, worth waiting for. You're worth the wait, you're worth the wait, you're worth the wait.
That's Lifetime by my guest, Mark Pelly. Such an amazingly written song, in my opinion. Thanks so much to Mark for being on the pod, and thank you for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, please check out patreon.com/unidentify. Stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon.